Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to 5555 Morningside Drive in Rice Village. This is the gorgeous Gale, and we are going to be here Saturday and Sunday for the third place match and the World Cup final. This is number 5 of 7 live shows we've done here. We've had a fantastic time, been treated wonderfully here at the gorgeous Gale and with Peter Kingston and company here and the wait staff. So we thank them very much for all their support for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. All right, so a quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsor here in the second hour. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. You need representation. You need somebody to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends, and that's the Daspit Law Firm and John. So get the representation you need. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And, of course, we've got two wonderful presenting sponsors, Texas Children's Hospital in the first hour and John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm in the second. Now, we always like to shine the spotlight on Houston, Texas. And, of course, we've got many amazing coaches and people that are involved in the game in our city here. Nick.
I'll let you sweat that a little bit, Glenn. Yes.
Now, Nick has one of the very, very interesting pronunciations. Nick Variaktarić. No.
Close.
Say it.
Variaktarić.
Nick Variaktarić is a good friend of mine, and I just realized I've been pronouncing his name wrong here for a long time. Nick Variaktarić joins us now. He is the head coach of the University of St. Thomas women's program. They were conference champions this past year. They went to the NAIA Nationals. Has done a wonderful job with this program. It's ustselts.com to find out about that women's program. So if you're a youth soccer player in town here, you want to stay home, a very good program. Nick is a tremendous coach, so the University of St. Thomas could be an option. We'll get to that in a second, but right now we're going to go to a little World Cup talk with Nick. So, you know, your thoughts today on what Croatia did. I think we're all kind of just in awe of how they just grabbed that game at halftime and took it over after a good first 45 minutes from England.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, first off, thank you for having me, Glenn.
No, pleasure.
It's been a fantastic World Cup. I mean, one game after another from that, from the opening stages to right now, and we're almost to that final. In Croatia, ooh, that was a tough game to watch. As it started, Croatia, big underdog. As everybody was talking about England, but again, in my opinion, not because the game is over, but I definitely saw Croatia as capable of winning, and it was a great game to watch where they overcame quite a bit. In my opinion, they couldn't get their rhythm in the first half, and obviously that early goal changes everything in the game. But then as the game went on, the second half, they definitely showed they were a better team, and then in overtime. Deservedly got the win, and now we have that final with France in the making. But so many things to talk about in that game, right?
No doubt about it. Nick Variaktarić joining us here, University of St. Thomas women's coach. So let me take you to, first of all, when England scores that goal, I see a very staggered Croatia. They're a little unstable. They're a little wobbly at this point. You got to give the first 45 minutes to England.
Yeah.
I'm at home and I'm going, okay, I know Croatia. They will make a push at some point. I don't think it's going to come as big and as powerful as it did ultimately come. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm thinking, okay, Modric, Rakitic, they need help from Perisic, Rebic, Mandzukic. That was one of my talking points before the game, if those guys would lift their game. And then all of a sudden, you look at the second half, and I want to know if you thought this was going to happen and what was going on at your mind at halftime, because All of a sudden, they start dominating midfield. The ball's whipping off their feet. They're looking fresher. They're coming to life. I mean, they're just growing inches in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I agree. I think as that second half started to unfold, it was a little. I don't think they did anything too different, but they kept at their game. I think they, although they couldn't get into the rhythm, like I said, in the first half, they had a lot of missed passes and lost ball. Croatia plays as they play every single game in this World Cup. They want to possess the ball. They want to pass the ball around. They want to whip in these crosses. How I felt before that first goal came, I thought England was dominating and winning these challenges in the air.
Yeah. And Harry Maguire, Stones.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody can argue different things, but Croatia first goal came out of nothing. It was pure will to get in front of these, in the end, two defenders and get a foot in there and score a goal. And that completely changes the momentum of the game. That's kind of what it started. But I didn't see anything. They changed tremendously. They just kept at it, and they were patient. I think they believed, and that's what started that turnaround.
Perisic, 68th minute is the goal you're talking about, and yeah. I think if we kind of put a circle around that, does kind of exemplify the way that goal was scored, exemplified the way Croatia plays.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you said it. I mean, he was just sharper to the ball.
Yeah, and I going back to their previous game, and they went to two overtimes before and two penalty kick shootouts. I thought that first overtime game against Denmark will galvanize the team, and maybe I wasn't as impressed in their performance after. But they squeaked through again. It took them a little bit in this game today against England to really establish themselves. But in the end, what a second half, what an overtime, what a drive. After that first goal, I think after first goal for Croatia, I really didn't see the way for England to come back in the game, although they had chances. And in my opinion, if Kane scores that second goal for England, it would be a very different game. And in soccer, if you don't finish your chances, you kind of feel that score will turn around.
Nick Varic-Daric, he is the women's soccer coach at the University of St. Thomas. He's joining us here at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. If you're out and about on the town, come in. You can also join the World Cup discussion here, 713-780-3776. Interesting game for Harry Kane, because he seemed to be dropping deep into midfield and more of a distributor. That's really the only chance I remember outside of a header maybe that went wide. It was a different kind of game for him, wasn't it?
I think it was, and both for him and for Mandzukic. So although they both had some chances before that overtime, before the goal, what I was saying to myself, have these two top strikers for their respective teams, and none of them are really impacted the game as much, but all it takes is one goal, and that's where Mandzukic scores. But yeah, I agree with you about Kane.
He gets the game winner. That's in the 109th
minute.
Nick Varic-Daric, he's the coach of the University of St. Thomas women's team. They were conference champions, went on to the Nationals in the NAIA, and has built a very, very good program there. Lots of respect to you, because I know the work you put into it. It's a tremendous amount of on- and off-field work, and hats off to you. Again, if you're a women's player and you're in the youth game and you're thinking about playing at the college level, ustcelts.com is their website. You'll see everything about their team and Nick over there. All right, so how important is it, the fact that Mandzukic has scored this goal heading into a World Cup final?
I mean, I think it's important. I think all Croatia cares about is going to the next round, going to the finals.
Yeah. But for him personally, as a goal scorer.
I mean, it's huge. Yeah, it gives him confidence, gives the team confidence. But they've been so together as a team that, like I said, it didn't matter who scored that goal. But this will carry him long. So I think that every team needs somebody. I think with all four teams in the semifinals, I think the team was a team Nobody could. There was no one player for each team that could get everything done. And Croatia and England,
right?
It had to be a collective. Yeah, it was collective.
So that's
collective
good.
Soccer. So it was good.
Because I have a coach here, so I want to talk to you about your thoughts on these four managers, because I've been doing this with everybody I've interviewed today, and I've been thoroughly impressed with Martinez of Belgium, Southgate of England, Dalic of Croatia, and, of course, Deschamps with France. So, you know, the same thing that you just said, I see all the players on all four of these teams that have gotten to the semis and out onto the World Cup final, all of these players with the eye test have looked very engaged with their coaches, their ideas, they're buying into the coaches' ideas.
Yeah, and it's so important. It's at that level. I mean, World Cup, what a World Cup. Stars, you need stars on the team, but it's so... at any level, obviously, I know college level a little bit, national team level. It's such an environment. It's so fragile. Know a little bit. Sorry about the Serbian national team and kind of, but every single team in this World Cup has a different story and different things that they have to overcome. To manage that environment, manage these players, manage injuries, it's an unbelievable feat. And even in today's game with England and Croatia, anybody could have won in the end.
Yeah. Just going back to their character and what they did in the second half. This is three games now. They've gone to extra time. They're going to play a World Cup final with all that. That's almost like another game.
Yeah.
That's a complete game, additional game that some of these guys have played
90
now.
90 minutes,
How are we supposed to look into this? Because that was a talking point in a storyline with all the pundits before the game. Well, you know, Croatia's a little older. They're going to be a little bit more tired. Fatigue could be a real issue. And look, after 45 minutes, we had to believe that if we're really being honest with ourselves. Because they looked staggered. They looked sluggish. They weren't really finding their game. And then to see... I mean, it was like they were almost grabbing superhuman powers because of the way they were running in extra time, and just remarkable. So does that have any bearing? I mean, should we throw that whole argument out the window now, heading into a World Cup final?
I think you cannot throw it out the window. It's always going to be an impact, but it's not the only thing.
Yeah.
Like in England game, it did seem in the first half that England is fresh, but then when it mattered in the second half and overtime, it was all Croatia, and it's that character, it's the drive. It's going to be same in the France game. France is going to be a lot fresher,
yeah.
I think. But and again, France, in my opinion, advantage over Croatia. But it will be. It won't be only fitness. It won't be only freshness. It will be so many other things too.
Yeah.
And I think Croatia is in that game too.
Big mental game. France and Croatia for the final. We're going to have the third place game here at the Gorgeous Gale. We'll do live radio after Sunday. We'll do the final, and we'll do live radio after, breaking down the entire World Cup, including the World Cup final. Nick, just a couple of words about your program. Let me give you a platform here to talk about it quickly.
Thanks, Glenn. I really appreciate you mentioning some of the things. But what a fantastic school. So proud of our student athletes. And our athletic department being behind us. We started 4 years ago in 2014, and it was by far the best feeling to have these seniors graduate and have that championship, conference tournament championship, and a trip to the national tournament in their along with their degree. Love Houston, being here 4.5 years now, almost 5 years, as far as our program, like I said, we're growing. The athletic department at the University of St. Thomas is growing. We'll start a transition from NAI to NCAA Division III in 2019, adding baseball, adding tennis, men's and women's tennis, just added cross country that will start in 2019. So it's a lot of things going on right here on Montrose and at University of St. Thomas campus.
Beautiful campus. And by the way, just for you, Nick, I've watched how you've run your program, the effort, the passion, the seriousness, the expertise that you put into it. Congratulations to that. You're a great addition to our soccer community in Houston, and I thank you very much for coming out live today.
Oh, I appreciate it, Glenn. I loved it today and can't wait for this final.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll be back down here at the Gorgeous Gale. Yeah. Watch it with all of us down here. Nick Varek-Taric, he is the U.S. University of St. Thomas women's coach. It's ustselts.com, ustselts.com for all you aspiring college soccer players. We're going to take a quick break here. It's a Daspit Law Firm and a Bud Light break.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're at 5555 Morningside Drive. This is the beautiful Gorgeous Gale. It's also the home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. And this has been packed down here during the World Cup. Just a reminder here, this is the official Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 World Cup headquarters. So we're going to be back here on Saturday. We're going to watch the third place game. Then we do live radio for 2 hours. We'll get set up for the World Cup final between France and Croatia. We'll watch on Sunday the final. And then after that, we do another two-hour live show. So if you want to get in... get down here Saturday and Sunday for number 6 and number 7 of our live shows during this 2018 World Cup from Russia. Second hour, presenting sponsors, the Daspit Law Firm, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Everybody needs help when you get in an accident. Could be a motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm's got you covered. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need, DaspitLaw.com. And also, quick word here for my friends at Liberty Kitchen. Delicious, modern comfort food. Beautiful neighborhood restaurants, River Oaks, Memorial City, The Heights, all designed by my friend Carl Eves. Lots of Gulf Coast influence, raw bar, oysters, smoked Seattle salmon. Signature bacon jam, macaroni and cheese. Love the gumbo they have over there as well. Great brunch, business meetings, or just plain hanging out to watch the World Cup or the Dynamo. Great mixed cocktails, wine and beer. See you at the Liberty Kitchen. Now, one player for the Houston Dynamo, Adolfo Machado, historically went to the World Cup with Panama and got his opportunity in their third group stage game. They did not advance out of their group. Machado went the full 90 minutes against Tunisia, caught up earlier with Dynamo defender Adolfo Machado, who was at the World Cup with Panama. So let's start with Adolfo and just, you know, the pride he felt playing for Panama in the World Cup for his countrymen.
Adolfo, ¿qué tanto orgullo sentiste de poder representar a tu país en el Mundial?
Creo que es algo inolvidable el poder estar en la cita mundialista. Creo que todo anhelo de todo jugador. Yo creo que ser elegido entre los 23 en la lista final de Panamá en su primer mundial es una bendición de Dios y un agradecimiento mucho también. Como digo, un orgullo enorme poder en el primer partido escuchar la nota de nuestro himno nacional. Todo el mundo conmovido, con lágrimas. Creo que no tiene precio.
It's something that you will never forget and you will never, you know, it will never be equal to anything. To listen to your national anthem as you're representing your fellow countrymen, you know, the people from Panama. It's something that I will never forget, and it's so amazing.
Does he feel special? And we're talking to Adolfo Machado. Does he feel special in that him and this generation of players have now set the bar for Panama's national team by getting to a World Cup?
¿Tú crees, Adolfo, que te sientes algo especial ya que tu generación ha puesto como la vara o una meta para las próximas generaciones de panameños, que es llegar a un mundial?
Claro, claro, creo que es muy especial. Creo que tantas generaciones pasaron, lucharon, se cruzaron por conseguir este objetivo, y bueno, nuestra generación le tocó esa bendición de poder clasificar a un Mundial a Panamá, y yo creo que queda esa satisfacción, esa responsabilidad, ¿no?, de poder transmitirle todo lo vivido, tanto eliminatoria, hexagonal, y también todo lo vivido en un Mundial, transmitirle a la nueva generación que viene, para que ellos también puedan dar ese paso de poder ir a Qatar 2021.
Of course, I think it's something special. You know, there were so many generations before us that were setting the path, that fighters, that fought, and they weren't able to make it, but we were able to do it. And it's satisfying to know that we're going to be able to talk to the younger generations, the newer generations, and tell them about, you know, the path throughout the qualifiers, and help them get prepared for what comes in Qatar 2022.
Hector Castlethwart of the Houston Dynamo helping translate here. Adolfo Machado is our guest, who played for Panama in the World Cup. Let's go into the fact that Adolfo playing and going the full 90 minutes against Tunisia in the final group game. What will he remember specifically from that game when he was on the field?
Adolfo, tuviste la oportunidad de jugar 90 minutos contra Túnez. ¿Qué es lo que vas a recordar de tu tiempo en el campo durante esta justa mundialista y en ese partido en específico?
Bueno, recordar que gracias a Dios tuve el privilegio de jugar 90 minutos en un mundial, ¿no? Sabemos que el cuerpo técnico solo tiene que acatar la orden de cuerpo técnico. Me tocó jugar 90 minutos ante una gran selección que a todo el mundo por ahí la da a ver de menos, y yo creo que tiene buenos jugadores que son competitivos, que tienen buen mano de balón, tienen habilidad, tienen el 1-1. Yo creo que es un privilegio poder enfrentar una selección como Túnez.
Yeah, I mean, I will always remember that. Thank God I was able to play for 90 minutes. Yes, I might have only been able to play for 90 minutes, but that was the coaching staff decision. And, you know, we just got to go with what they think is best for the team. And, yes, I did play it against Tunisia, and many might not think that Tunisia is a tough opponent. But, yeah, Tunisia goes 1-on-1 on duels. They are really good. They have a lot of skill. So I was really fortunate to get to play 90 minutes.
Well, Adolfo, Hector, please tell Adolfo we're very proud of his efforts for Panama, and I know his countrymen are as well, and we thank him for his time to just give us a little glimpse into what the World Cup playing for Panama and his venture to Russia was like.
Adolfo, primero que nada, Glenn, te quiero agradecer por el tiempo que te tomaste de poder darle la oportunidad de que la gente pueda escuchar un poco sobre tu aventura mundialista, y también que estamos, y yo hablo por mi persona y por Glenn en esto, que estamos muy orgullosos de lo que hiciste, de poder ir a representar a tu país a la justa mundialista de Rusia, y que estamos muy agradecidos por este tiempo.
No, gracias Glenn, y a ustedes por este tiempo y por también permitirme, ¿no?, darle saber a la fanaticada la experiencia y lo vivido en un mundial.
Glenn, I want to thank you for giving me this time to share my experience and be able to share this story with the fans that are listening to your show. And it was amazing to be there, and thanks again for having me on your show.
Anytime, Adolfo. Thank you so much. Gracias, Adolfo. Gracias, Hector.
So that was Hector Castlethwart, who was doing the translation there of the Houston Dynamo. And our thanks to Adolfo Machado, who played against Tunisia in that final game in the World Cup. Sure, Panama had some struggles, obviously, in the group phase. Didn't advance, but this was a historic moment for an entire country, just like today with Croatia. Coming back against England in what was a remarkable moment for a country that's got only 4.2 million people. So you have to think here and close your eyes and think about what's going on in Zagreb and in Croatia at this very moment. getting to a World Cup final. This is the greatest and most popular sporting event on the world, bar none. Okay? Bar none. And Croatia is in the final now against France. So you got to think about the global impact of this. We've got a lot more to come here on the show. Again, we're down here at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. If you're out and about on the town, pop in. Remember, we have live shows here Saturday after the third place game between England and Belgium, Sunday after the World Cup final between France and Croatia. So come on in Sunday, come down, say hello to us, and then we're going to do live radio after. So amazing moment today for Croatia. We're going to take a break. When we come back, former U.S. national team defender Marcelo Balboa will join me. We'll also go over the semifinals and the World Cup final with Marcelo, and we might even touch a little bit on what's going on with the Dynamo Colorado Rapids on Saturday night. Let's take a break from the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive in Rice Village.
A RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from the Gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive here. What a day it was in the World Cup with Croatia getting past England. It is now France and Croatia for the World Cup final this Sunday. Quick word here for Budweiser. World Cup's here. The games are being played during working hours. There's only one thing that's going to help us survive this catastrophe, our friends. With them, it's easier to sneak from your boss, make up excuses, and extend your lunch break to 90 minutes. Here's to the friends you can always count on. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup Games and proud sponsor of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Well, that's if you're working on Saturday or Sunday. But Saturday, we got the third place game, England-Belgium. Sunday, it is France-Croatia. We will be doing live shows here at the Gorgeous Gale. Perfect time to bring in a man that did play in the World Cup for the United States. Back in 1994, you remember Marcelo Balboa, the U.S. defender. A good friend joins us right now. Marcelo, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Very good. All right, let's talk what was an amazing game here today. Let's just get some of your general thoughts on England-Croatia.
You know what? I got to say, I thought this one was going to be one of the slower-paced games for a semifinal, but it was absolutely fantastic. That early goal opened up the game. I thought Croatia, after having gone the last two games, 120 minutes in PKs, was going to die out. They were fantastic. They deserve to be in the final.
Marcelo, I would assume a lot of us were saying at halftime, it was the first half you had to concede to England. They looked a better team. They looked sharp. They looked very up for the moment. Obviously young. And at halftime we're going, okay, just what you said. There'll be a Croatia push at some point because of who they are. But I don't think many people thought they would physically be able to put that performance out, control midfield with Modric and Rakitic, and then finally get more from Perisic, Mandzukic, who got goals and kind of helped Modric and Rakitic in this one.
Yeah. Now, listen, 100%, Glenn. Here's the thing for me. The game was in England's hands for 45 minutes. They had two or three opportunities to close the door, to shut the door on Croatia, and they did. They left that door open for Croatia, and they climbed. They put the right foot in, a toe in, then their foot. Then they got in the second half. England left the door open. They could have put that game away in the first half, and they did. They didn't because they were not clinical in front of goal. Next thing you know, you leave a door open, you get punished for it, and England got punished for it.
Isn't that kind of their story? Because I thought they were trending up after the last game. They were getting a little bit more out of the run of the play. I thought they did in the first half with Sterling making some good runs and causing some problems and pulling people apart.
But you're right. The execution wasn't there, and you know from your playing career during your best times, you got to score goals, right?
Listen, one, you know how it is, a World Cup game. One goal is never enough. You know, it's very rare that one goal is enough nowadays with the talented players that are on that field, and this has been a World Cup of set pieces, so you know how dangerous both teams can be. So at the end of the day, you know, we all talked about Harry Kane the first two games. After that, where was Harry Kane? You know, they put so much pressure on Ronaldo and Messi. Well, Harry Kane's the star for England. Where was Harry Kane today? That's my question.
He looked more like a provider to me. He was more about going back into midfield and laying balls on to other people and playmaking. It's what it seemed to me.
He's not a playmaker. He's not a 10. He's a goal scorer, just like Sterling. Sterling's a goal scorer. And where were they today when you needed a big opportunity, a big play? They didn't show up today, and I think that's what hurt England.
Marcelo Balboa joining us, has played in a number of World Cups for the United States. You remember him for his days with the Colorado Rapids as well in Major League Soccer. He's their analyst. We'll talk a little Dynamo Rapids at the end of this interview. Some people were critical of Sterling not providing the final cutting edge, and they may be right in the end because he's only got two international goals against Lithuania and Estonia. He scored 23 overall competitions for Manchester City, but Manchester City and what surrounds him there is an entirely different thing.
Listen, the best goal scorers in the world have providers, have a 10, a guy that lays balls into space. When you go to Man City and you see Sterling and you see these guys all over the world, even Ronaldo, who does he have in the midfield? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, they've got players that can provide them. Who was providing Sterling today? Who was providing Harry Kane today? They don't have that type of player, and I think that's what you miss. You miss a guy that can provide Sterling a pass in between two defenders and get in behind players. England doesn't have that type of player. They have great players. There's no doubt about it. Kane, Sterling, they've got phenomenal players, but they're missing that 10 that can provide and can serve them those kind of balls.
Yeah, and very young and very promising for the next World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Qatar, no doubt about it. But you're right, because De Bruyne, David Silva, these are the types of guys that are setting up a Raheem Sterling at Manchester City.
Yep.
Well, let's go back to Croatia. Just the spirit, Cello, the will, the fight, the power. I was in awe. My jaw was on the ground the entire second half. I was like, okay, at some point this has to stop. And it didn't. And analytically, you know, you and I aren't big stats guys always, because we don't believe they always tell the story and don't quantify things. But I looked at the statistics after this game, and it's overwhelmingly in favor of Croatia.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a stats guy, but I'll say this. Again, I thought in the spirit and the mentality that Croatia went out today surprised me, because this is a team that's gone into overtime. It's gone two games in penalty kick. That's 120 minutes each, you know, and then having to play 3 days later in a semifinal. I thought at one point they were just going to fizzle out and they were just going to drop, and they didn't. They kept on going. They kept on pressing. They kept on moving the ball. And it just goes to show you what adrenaline can do for you, what the moment can do for you, what your fans can do for you, because they never stopped running. But even in the overtime, they looked better. At one point, I remember watching the game in the overtime, and England slowed the game down. I'm thinking to myself going, why would you be slowing the game down? You guys should be fresher. You should be, even if you were a guy down. But I just expected England to be all over Croatia for 90 minutes, and it didn't happen because of the spirit and the mentality that Croatia had.
Unbelievable. And Zlatko Dalic, the Croatian manager, after the game saying no one wanted to be subbed out. We had guys playing on one leg. You know, so here's the age-old question. If we're looking ahead to a final against France, you know, one of the talking points around the globe today was, hey, Croatia's slightly older. They got guys that have played in extra-time games. Well, now it's three extra-time games.
Yep.
And I'm going to begin to just say that, you know what, I'm not even going to be digging into that too much after what these guys did today.
I was digging in a little bit after the two games that they've gone into overtime, and I thought they were going to be physically spent today, and they surprised everybody. So the only thing that would concern me are injuries for Croatia. That, I think, is going to be interesting tomorrow, an injury report, because I think it was Modric who grabbed his hamstring at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a few guys that were grabbing a few little, just little nagging injuries, it looked like. So I'll be curious tomorrow and the next day to see who practices, who doesn't, who's on the injury report.
Yeah, I would put, if I was the manager, I'd stick them all in an ice bath for 24 hours, every single guy.
I would stick them in an ice bath for the next 3 days,
yeah,
and get them, let them ready for the final on Sunday.
All right, you mentioned Luka Modric, and he's been wonderful in this tournament. When I looked at this game today, I just marveled at, number one, just the pure ability this guy had physically, number one. But number two, how quickly he sees things. You know, you're at home going, and it's real easy when you're at home and you're looking on a TV and going, okay, the ball should go here. And freaking every time it does from that guy. I mean, that guy makes the right decisions, but he must see things quicker than 99.9% of the people on the field.
Yeah, but that's what the best players in the world do, don't they? Look at what Messi. Messi sees the game 2 or 3 seconds before anybody else. Ronaldo does the same thing. Go back to the old days of Echeverry, Valderrama, Zidane, Maradona, Pelé. Those players are special because they have an ability to read the game. They have an ability to see the game before it builds. They have the ability to be able to lay a ball at the right time into space. So those are the players that are, one, very hard to come by. Number two, very hard to afford, you know what I mean? Just because of the fact that they've got that special quality that you don't learn over time. That's God-given. God-given abilities these guys have.
So at halftime, I'm going, I want to see more of Perisic, Rebic, Mandzukic. And to those guys' credit, they lifted it at the right time here, you know, alongside all of their teammates. I thought Perisic was outstanding. Obviously got the tying goal in the 68th minute. Mandzukic got the game winner. But I just thought these guys just lifted their levels and just said, you know, we're not going to be denied. We're not going to do 98 again where we lose and not get to a World Cup final this time. And lo and behold, they willed themselves through.
Well, I remember Perisic is the one who dribbled fake right, went left, and hit the post the last, what, with 18 minutes to go. So I thought they were going to win it there. But I think it's the you know how it is. It's the biggest tournament in the world. There's no tournament like this. There's no other tournament that you can say you are world champions unless you're in the Olympics. And when you wait every 4 years, you got to walk off that field at the end of the day and say, I've given everything I have, because it's a very special trophy. It's not a trophy that gets like league trophies every year. It's once every 4 years, and you're going to be in a very elite, special class group by winning that. That right there in itself motivates you enough to not give up. And I think when you see that and you just saw the spirit they had and they knew what they were fighting for, they never gave up, just shows you the spirit of that team. It's not huge stars all over the field, but it's a very good team that's playing very well as a team right now.
Marcelo Balboa joining us, a current color analyst for the Colorado Rapids, also a man that played in a number of World Cups representing the United States, including the historic and pioneering 94 World Cup, part of that great team. Marcelo, I want to take you into the managers, because I've also been very fascinated by the managers. All four that got to the finals here, Roberto Martinez of Belgium, Gareth Southgate of England, Zlatko Dalic of Croatia, and France's Didier Deschamps, all in their own ways. These guys have been fascinating to me with their leadership and the way they've handled themselves in the press and visibly. I mean, these are inspirational leaders.
I agree 100%, Glenn. I think you've got guys who are former players who know how to manage players, know how to deal with players, and not so much as a coach, but I think as a manager, because you see how the players were celebrating with coaches after games. You see the emotion on the coaches' faces, the English coach. You saw Croatia the other day crying on the bench when they won. sometimes as a player, you don't get as far as you want in a career, and you get a second chance as a coach. And I think the best coaches in the world are best managers. Not basic, not always the best tactical coach, but he knows how to manage the players he has. He knows how to get the best out of them. And I think when you look at those four coaches, they've done absolutely fantastic on getting the best out of what those players can give in such a short time, you know.
Marcelo Balboa joining us, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And yeah, look, I'm not in the locker room. I'm making these observations based on the way they handle press conferences, the way their team plays, and what I see with my naked eye, and that is I have seen these teams buying in to what the manager is trying to do. And I think it was very visible with all four of these teams.
I think it's all over the world, Glenn. I think when you get a coach and they buy into the system, they buy into what you're trying to do, and the important thing is to get key players on your side. They have to believe, because if the captain, and listen, if you get Argentina and Messi does not buy into the system, you're screwed. And that's kind of what happened in this World Cup. With Sampaoli, no one believed in what he was doing, and you saw it on the field. You completely saw it. When it hit the wall, when you saw Messi in the tunnel pulling all 11 starters aside, he was given the pep talk, right there you knew that Argentina was screwed. They were screwed because they weren't going to go very far because they didn't believe in the coach. Then you look at someone like Croatia. They bought into the system. They believe in the system. Look at the way they fought for their team, for their country, for their coach. 100%. To me, the best coaches are the best managers.
Unbelievable. 4.2 million, the population of Croatia. They are in the World Cup final on Sunday against France. We're talking to Marcelo Balboa. Going to switch gears here real quick. Saturday night, Dynamo Colorado Rapids. I watched the last Rapids game, and boy, it was very deep defending Rapids. Do they play differently at home? Will they open up a little bit more at home against the Houston Dynamo Saturday night?
I think they have to, Glenn. I think Colorado's at that point right now where the points are so valuable to them because of the position they're in. 3 points is a must for Colorado. So I would expect them to come out. I would expect them to press Houston for a while. Sure, they'll drop off like we see teams, so you can't press for 90 minutes. But I would expect Colorado to come out to press Houston to make them feel the altitude and try to take advantage of the altitude that they have.
Who are the players to really keep an eye on? Is it Dominic Badji? Is it Jack Price in midfield? Who have been, you know this team inside and out, who have been the players that have led the way this year for Colorado?
One, I think you have to start with Tim Howard. I think that's first and foremost because he's had some blunders. There's no doubt about it. He's had some few mistakes in the last few games, but he keeps Colorado in every game. From there, you got to look at Jack Price. He's the little engine in the midfield who moves and knocks, and when you need someone to lay a tackle, he lays the tackle. And then from there, I think you got to look at Dominic Badji. Dominic Badji is the guy who's, I believe, he's got 7 goals. He's the one that's the threat to get in behind. And there's other players, but when you talk about 2 or 3 key players that Colorado has, those would be the guys right now that have to show up and have to lead this team.
Marcelo, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you very soon, okay?
You got it, buddy. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. He's the one and only Marcelo Balboa, World Cup player for the United States. You remember him from Major League Soccer, the Colorado Rapids, also played in Mexico in Liga MX as well. That'll do it tonight here for Michael Hernandez and all of you who listened in here tonight. To all of our guests, thank you very much as we break out here to end the evening. I just want to remind you about Tranquility Home Systems. My friend Jesse, talk to Jesse. He'll come out. He'll get you a free quote. He'll get you on your way to watching your sports in all the latest 4K video technology. You need a new home theater? He's the man. I'm going to give you his personal phone number, 281-506-7822, or his website, www.ths3inc.com. That's Jesse. Again, personal phone number, 281-506-7822. He does home theater for the Stars. Can't name some of the guys he told me he does it for, but he does a lot of his sports home theater stuff for athletes. He'll get you a quote. He'll get you what you need when it comes to to watching sports in 4K video technology. And also, a final word here for the King's Court. Ito, it's the King's Court, 903 Hutchins. Get down there, say hello to Jay, right near the stadium. Dynamo pregame parties there as well. KingsCourtHouston.com. Go down, say hello to Jay. Great food, great spirits, great beer selection, 13 monitors. And our thanks as we end the night here at 5555 Morningside Drive. The gorgeous Gale, we will be here again Saturday, right after the third place game will go live. Sunday after the World Cup final, we'll go live with Soccer Matters. It is your official Soccer Matters ESPN World Cup watching home. The gorgeous Gale, we thank everybody here for their great courtesy. The wait staff, bartenders, everybody involved with this. Our thanks to the one and only Gorgeous Gale and our good friend Peter Kingston. That does it for us tonight. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.